People in southern Labrador are looking ahead these days to both a federal and provincial by-election. This week, though, they're being asked to turn back the clock and reflect on the roots. A researcher is in the region to ask people for their thoughts on identity and culture, particularly as it relates to Métis ancestry. John Kennedy is an anthropologist, and he's on the line this morning. Mr. Kennedy, welcome to Labrador Morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Well, tell us briefly about your interest in southern Labrador.
Well, my interest in southern Labrador really began in 1979 when I started researching there. But before that, even, I had begun teaching at Memorial University in the fall of 73. And at the time, there was a course called Labrador. There was a course called Newfoundland Society and Culture, and it spent a week at the end of the term on Labrador. I decided to launch a course on Labrador, which I did the next year in 74. I taught it for 30 years at Memorial until I retired in 04. In 79, I had gone, after being frustrated for a number of years of not having any material on southern Labrador, I had gone to southern Labrador and began research there that would ultimately result in two books on the region. One was published at the University of Toronto Press called People of the Bays and Headlands, and that was published in 95. And it's that book that I'm now actually revising, updating, because of the many findings of the CURA project, of which I am a member. The CURA project is a SHRC-funded, that is to say, it's one of the three government funding agencies in Canada, the Social Science and Humanities Research Council of Canada. And it's being funded by SHRC for 5 years, ends actually in 2014, and I'm updating, basically, People of the Bays and Headlands because of the vast new findings of research on southern Labrador. So I'm including a lot of that, plus my own research, as well as that of others.
Now, something you said there right in the beginning kind of intrigued me. You talk about there was a week at the end of the term on Labrador. Is that what sparked your interest, or?
Well, I think that was at the time I'd come out of Labrador, and of course I had been in northern Labrador 13 months in McCovic, and you know you fall in love with Labrador and Labrador people when you spend time with them, and I felt they were being underrepresented. Now whether I was the person to represent them, that was always a challenging question. I had many Labrador students during the 30 years I taught that course, and that vastly helped the course. But the frustrating thing about the course, as I say, when I started, was there was nothing on southern Labrador. Now we have so much more material, and that, again, is why I'm here for the next several weeks to try to better understanding what people are saying today about identity and culture, but also to fill in various holes in what I have in terms of the revised manuscript.
So let's talk a little bit about the focus of this week. Why do you want to interview people in these communities on the South Coast?
Well, if you look at the history of Labrador, particularly since the 70s, I think one of the major developments in Labrador since the 1970s has been the development of Aboriginal ethnopolitics, or the politics of identity. I mean, we saw this first in the beginning of 73 in the north with the Labrador Inuit Association, and then, of course, we saw with the Niskapi-Montigny Inuit Association, which would become the Innu Nation. Both of these groups, of course, have now land claims as a result of mobilizing and, of course, of resource developments, which were threatening their part of their traditional territories. Further south, of course, we have the development of the Labrador Métis Association in 85, and now it's called it calls itself now the Nanatuhavut Community Councils. So I think the reason I'm interested is because this is I think such an important change for Labrador people. I see all of these political organizations that I've just mentioned really as sort of post-colonial local developments where people are beginning to state their own claims and stand up for themselves, as opposed to being basically bulldozed, and that's a bit extreme, I realize, but sometimes that was the case, by outside interests that others had in Labrador. So people are standing up for themselves. That's important as far as I'm concerned.
What kind of questions will you be asking these folks?
Well, I actually have a questionnaire, which I have not used that sort of thing in the past very much. I've tended to be more in the community and trying to sort of listen and learn, but I'm actually going to be asking people questions like, you know, how do you identify yourself? Open-ended questions, which I intend to hopefully get some answers. And I know these are difficult questions. Sometimes the concepts are difficult, but I'll be asking fairly simple questions and hoping that people will let me give me some idea as to how they feel about the issues that I'm asking. Now, I also will be doing all of this, pardon me, anonymously. I will not have their names will not be associated with the interviews. They will not appear in anything I write. They will be completely anonymous. So, in fact, the text, this will be the final chapter of Encounters, which is the title of the revised book. The chapter actually begins with an interview I conducted February of this year with Todd Russell, and then it'll be followed by essentially these anonymous interviews from the South Coast of people saying, you know, here's what I think about my identity or the culture, which is important as far as I'm concerned, is da 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 da. Well, I will not be identifying who those people are out of respect for them, and so that hopefully they will be able to tell me what they actually think. So that's the game plan.
So when you go, if we can go back to maybe another question or two, once you identify yourself, I mean, and as you said, it's anonymous, and I know some people, when you say, oh, we want to do an interview, they're saying, oh, my gosh, what's the correct answer? Am I going to get it wrong? But, you know, that's not – there is no scoring on this. It's not a test, right?
Absolutely not. No. In fact, I mean, whatever people say is what goes. I'm not going to put any of my particular opinions on these issues. This chapter, that final chapter, will be the people speaking, basically. Kennedy is just simply going to transcribe the interviews and present them as I hear them. Now, obviously, there will be the necessity to cut down on oohs and ahs and if there are pauses. And, I probably, too, depending on what I get, there may be some necessity of picking and choosing. But I will attempt to be as representative of the entire smorgasbord as I can be.
And on this smorgasbord, who's going to be part of it? How are you going to get folks to take part?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there are representatives in the communities of Nanatuhavu, community councils, and I will be contacting them. I also want to, whenever I go into a community, if it's possible, I'm going to certainly try to meet with the town councils or community councils or elected bodies just to introduce myself and let them know what I'm up to. And that's one of the reasons I'm doing this interview and the one I did earlier with Cornerbrook, is to let people know who I am, what I'm trying to do, and why I'm trying to do it as openly as possible. And I might add, each of the interviews has a length statement of what I'm up to, what this is going to be used for. Because I've had, of course, in working with human subjects, as they're called by the scientific agencies that administer research in Canada, in working with people, I have to go through not only the ethical review process at Memorial, which I went through some time ago, that's the so-called Tri-Council policy, but I also sent my material, of course, out of good faith to Nanatuhavu, which was at the time the Labrador Métis Nation, and they have very kindly gone through my proposal and have approved it. Now that's been marvelous, because they've obviously been able to offer suggestions, and I've appreciated those.
So listen, these human subjects, as you call them.
Oh, I don't.
No, I'm just. How do folks get a hold of you? Because you're an interesting gentleman, and I'm sure there's lots of people who will be more than interested in sharing some information. How do they find you?
Well, the game plan, that's a good question, and because, of course, I have a cell phone, but I realize that where
exactly.
I'm going, cell phone service is spotty, if at all. Certainly through Gmail, I do check my Gmail regularly, and I'm Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y, John C. That's my name.
So Kennedy, John C. at Gmail.
At gmail.com.
Okay.
So certainly they get through to me that way. They'll see me. Some people will see this stranger. Who is this guy driving around in a rented red vehicle? It's a sedan, Kia, I believe. Certainly, please don't hesitate to get through to me. I will either through Gmail or through seeing me and talking with me, and I would love to sit down with as many people who have a half, three-quarters of an hour of their time and so on. Again, everything is voluntary. Like they, no one has to answer any of these questions. If they hear them, they don't like them, that's not a problem. We move on to the next. I mean, I want people to feel here quite correctly that they're not being used or abused, but simply I am consulting them because they're the experts, and I have long respected Labrador expertise.
All right, John Kennedy, what a pleasure this morning. Good luck with this, and keep in touch.
Thank you very much.
John Kennedy is an anthropologist. He's doing some research as part of a Memorial University project about the Labrador Métis, Nunatu'awut, called Understanding the Past to Build the Future.